Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, you're going to hear me say the word lost a couple of times. I want to go ahead and get the context of that word that I'm going to be, and the way I'm going to be using it this morning is not in as in lost as in salvation, but spiritually lost. You've went a different direction and you've got lost on that journey. This morning, the title of this message, if I was to title it, would be Come Home. If you will, take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And I want to share with you a story as you turn there this morning. A young man set out on a journey one spring day only to find himself in the midst of what he thought was a wonderful life. He had been a part of this life for a while, and man, it was everything he thought he had hoped and dreamed for. And the job was great. The money was good. The materialistic things were amazing. He had the boats. He had the cars. He had the four-wheelers. He had the side-by-sides. He had everything that a man could dream of. But one day, he gets a phone call. And on the other end of that phone is a family member. And he didn't recognize the voice. And he said, I know you, but who is this? Says, it's your mom and your dad. We need you to come home. You've wandered so far from the truth, so far from the way you were raised, so far from the virtues and the morals and everything that we have taught you. You have wandered so far away. I want you to come home. We need you to come home. And he says, I like it here. That should bother us, ladies and gentlemen. Not that our children are doing well in life, not that our family members are doing well in life, but that they're no longer involved in the church, no longer involved in their walk with Christ. Maybe they've just kind of wandered from the truth in some way. And some of you now are going, what in the world do these two verses have to do with anything about coming home? Well, let me elaborate a little bit. Are you ready? Verse 19 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This morning I want to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian that I reference a lot. He once said, if we're comfortably living outside the will of God, then there is a possibility that we are lost living comfortably. In order to be lost and living comfortably, there's things that have to happen in our lives. Do you know that the CIA released one of the biggest secrets that it had ever released in the past 25 years? How to effectively go off the grid. I'm going to share that secret with you this morning. How to effectively go off the grid is to cut all ties with all electronical platforms, do away with bank and debit cards and credit cards, do away with your cell phones, your smartwatches, do away with all of it, and simply pack up necessities only, leaving your house full of its things, leaving everything that you own behind, family and all, and disappearing. Then, after 24 hours, you have effectively fell off the grid. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share with you the danger of effectively falling off the grid when it comes to church. Effectively falling off the grid when it comes to church is you no longer show up. And when you do, you're here, but you're really not here. Amen? Your prayer life is almost inconsistent with only your needs and wants and desires and ambitions. You have effectively fell off the grid. This morning, this is a specific message for someone. I don't know who you are, but I know I have prayed And I have sought the face of God this week on this. But you've been riding the fence and debating with God and fighting your flesh. And unknown to yourself, you have walked away from the truth of God's word and God's call on your life. I don't know who this is for, but I know it's for somebody. And he is saying this morning, come home. Again, you're sitting there going, how in the world does this have anything to do with coming home? It's simple. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. That word err is amazing in the Greek Hebrew. That word convert is amazing in the Greek Hebrew. It simply means submit and surrender. It's simple. Submit and surrender. You've probably, I don't know your heart, this is between you and God, but there's come a time where you have never truly surrendered and submitted to God's will for your life. There's come a point in your life where you have truly never fully, 100%, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt in your heart, surrendered to God. How do we surrender to God? We lay it all down and we say, here I am. I'm a broken vessel. Use me. Mend me. Make me whole. I've been through the battles of life, God, and I'm here to say that I surrender and I surrender all. You've heard me say this 1,000 times when we sing, I surrender all. It shouldn't be just another hymn that we sing. It should be a prayer of full submission to God. I surrender all and all to Him I owe. You owe Him everything. He owes us nothing. I've heard people often say that I chose God or I was lost and I found God. No, you wasn't lost and found God. You was lost and God found you. He's never changed. He's never differed from who He was in the days of yesteryear, as we like to say. He is the same God today, tomorrow, and forever. He is never changing. He's never ending. He's omnipresent. He knows all. But for us to say that we surrender to God only on Sunday and we live a part-time Christian relationship with Him is to say that we are not taking our walk with Christ seriously. And my friend, if you can live that away, that tells me by the Word of God, not by my flesh, not by my own opinions, but by the Word of God, you've never truly surrendered. We must understand that this is addressing not only the backslider, but the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not only calling the backslider to come back. It's not only calling the one who has wandered off to come back. It's calling us out as Christians, saying that we have to reach out to those who have backslidden. Hey, look, you're not in the will of God. I want to know if there's something I can do. Well, Tom, I'm not getting in that. That's really none of my business. But the Word of God tells us to do that. So to say that you're not getting in that, that's none of your business, is saying that, not my place. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, and you may disagree with me, and that's fine, but I promise you this. Let him know that which one converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How hard is it to go to our brother and sister? And you may not, there's some that you may not be comfortable with. Amen? There's certain people you can be comfortable with in doing this. I will agree with that. I'm going to pick on Matt. I could go to Matt right now and say, hey, Matt, look, brother. The way you're doing things, man, that ain't the way God would want you to do them, brother. And Matt would receive that. Waylon, I could go to Waylon and I feel I could do the same. And I know they could come to me and they know they could do the same with me. Amen, guys? Here's the thing. We have to have accountability in the body of Christ. Accountability is serious, not only for our walk with Christ, but it is serious for those who have wandered far from the truth. Some would say, what is the truth? What do we find as the truth? Remember a couple weeks ago, I shared with you, for a man to say that he believes there is no absolute truth is an absolute fool. Because they made an absolute statement. there is one thing that I do want to share with you this morning that I believe with all my heart and all of my mind that the Lord is saying right now amongst us. I shared it the other night with a friend of mine over the phone. What are we doing in the body of Christ to love on the broken? It's great to go out into the world and reach the lost. Amen? It's great to go out and do outreach. It's great to go out there and try to pull people into the church. But what are we doing about the broken in the church? Ladies and gentlemen, there's one. I want you to look to your left and I want you to look to your right. If you're next to the wall, don't look to the right. Amen? Or the left. But I want you to look at the person next to you because you do not know their challenge. You do not know what they're going through. You do not know how their heart is heavy. You don't know what they're debating with. You don't know what's keeping them up at night. You do not know what their struggle is. But it's on us as brothers and sisters in Christ to love on one another and call each other to repentance. Amen? I'm going to go a little deeper this morning than I had planned on. This will be a part two series, part one to a part two or three series. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, if any of you do wander, that word err, E-R-R, in the Greek Hebrew simply breaks down to wander. Holy smokes, three letters turn into a big word. Have you ever noticed when you go to the doctor's office and they're doing shorthand? Does anybody in here do shorthand? Okay, so when you do shorthand, everybody knows that shorthand is a really big word that you know how to spell it, but you ain't got time to. Amen? Carrie says, I do shorthand. I disagree with her. I just can't write, okay? But even with that, we take three letters and it turns into this big word, wander. If any of you do wander from the truth, listen to me. There are so many of us right now sitting under the sound of my voice, I'm guilty of it, who have wandered so far from the truth and the will of God for our lives that He's saying, you need to come home. You need to get back in line. How can you go to first base when you ain't even swung the bat yet? How can you go out? I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm fishing to. You can do all that you want to do. You can do all the things that you know to do. Listen to me. You can go out here tomorrow and you can load your car down with all the food in the world. And you can go out here and you can feed the homeless and clothe the naked and take care of the poor. But if you're not in line with the will of God when you walk through these doors, something is wrong. And if you can walk in here, sit down comfortably, knowing that you're hiding sin, let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hiding sin, it'll come out in the light. Amen? The Bible tells us that. If you can do it comfortably, I agree with Dietrich Bonhoeffer's statement when he said, if we are comfortably living a life outside the will of God, then there is a possibility that we are lost living comfortably. There's no doubt in my mind that is a truth. That statement in itself is powerful. I love researching some of the things that Dietrich Bonhoeffer has to say about Scripture. And as I was searching through this week and I found that was totally not even part of this. It was actually a quick dialect that he had wrote down on something totally different. And when I read that, I thought, man, how many times have we walked into church and we were comfortable walking in? This is Pentecost Sunday, amen? Think about that. How many times, Mama Dale, we walk into church and we're comfortable? The air's just right. The music's good. The preacher don't preach too long. The teacher gives out donuts and everybody's happy. Amen? Everybody's tickled pink. Everybody's excited. They leave. But do you ever get in your car? Think about this. Do you ever get in your car after Sunday school on your way home and go, man, God really moved this morning? God really stirred my heart this morning. God really convicted me this morning. The Holy Spirit really spoke to me this morning. Quit listening with your ears and start listening with your heart. Do you know how many times that I have had to listen to the same message over and over and over again because I was listening with this and not this? I remember one time I had sat down at a conference and Todd was preaching, and Todd is not a short talking preacher, amen? He doesn't ramble, but he makes a lot of points in about an hour. And I mean, it's an hour-long conference. You know what you're signing up for when you walk in. And an hour in, I was lost. Like, where are we at? What are we even doing here? You know, and at this point, my mind's going, we're just rambling. 2 weeks later, I run across it on the podcast, and I'm listening all over again, and I'm like, holy smokes. How did I miss that? How did I not hear that? How did I not catch that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this because I love you. We have to do things a little different sometimes. Amen? Come home. This morning, I want you to, if you make notes, I want you to write this down. The life worthy of the call is the heart listening to the call. The life worthy of the call is the heart listening to the call. I remember as a kid, I would be out in the backyard and Daddy would be in the house, and there was a canal that ran down from behind the house, and you could go one way and go into Lake Pontchartrain, or you could go the other way and you would go into a little bayou swamp area. And we would go out in that little swamp area with our little 22s and the John boats, and we'd take milk jugs, guys, and we would fill them up with water and we would freeze them and we would take them out and we would shoot them. Those were our targets. And Daddy would always say, guys, be careful. Don't shoot at no stumps. Don't shoot no animals. It's, you know, whatever the season may have called for. But be careful. And when I call for you, this was before cell phones, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. This was back in the time when a little Cajun man would stand out by the fence and go, hey, Bo, you better come on home. Then I'd act like I couldn't understand him. And Waylon, I did that a lot just to mess with him. And I learned that he didn't like it. And after I figured out Daddy didn't like it, I did it more because it'd make him mad. And he'd get talking like the right head and you didn't understand none of his head. But he would come out and he would say, son, it's time to come home. And if he didn't hear that boat motor start up, and he didn't hear that throttle kick in, he wasn't hollering twice. But I knew something serious was coming when I got home. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what the walk is this morning that has got you distracted, but it's time to come home. God only punishes those He loves. He corrects those He loves. Amen. He's a loving God. Just as we think of the prodigal son who, as he run home, he looks at his father and he says, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. It's time to come home. Repentance is something so serious that I think we take for granted. Amen. Sometimes just asking for simple forgiveness and saying, Lord, I've been out of your will. I've been far out of whack. I've been out of reach. And you're right where I walked off and left you at. God's never left you. But this morning, I promise you this. He loves you. And I want you to look back up. And I meant to send this to Mason so it won't be on the screen. But I want you to look up at verse 16 of this same very chapter. Verse 16 of the same very chapter. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Accountability inside the body of Christ is needed and required. Amen. Men, we don't like to be told what to do. Amen. I tell everybody I wear the pants in my house. Don't tell Carrie I said that. She might get upset with me. But I tell everybody, when we have someone that holds us accountable, I have two people who I can fight in. I've got my pastor and I've got a good friend of mine who I can fight in and I talk to about things. And I'm going to tell you this. I love the man for his heart because he is quick to tell me if I'm in error. Tom, you're far out of it, dude. Amber. I know there's a lot of times where we're just far out of whack. It's time to come home. Amen. This is where I'm going to stop. And I'm going to say this. It's time to come home. Amen. It's time to come home. If you will, stand with me. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.